Great. Some pictures are going to appear on the screen now. And I'm asking for the younger generation to tell me, who are these? Who can tell me? At the back there. Yeah, Peppa Pig and George Pig. Well done. Who's this next one? Somebody who likes adventure and outdoors. Who's actually a Christian as well, by the way. Do you know? It is Bear Grylls. There he is. Okay. One more. Who is this? It is Shrek. Well done. Now here's the question for you all. What do Peppa and George Pig, Bear Grylls and Shrek all have in common? What do they all like? Mud. That's right. They love... I don't know why Bear Grylls likes the mud, but anyway, he loves the mud. They all love mud. And we're going to be thinking about mud this morning. Psalm 40 in the Bible. It's a very muddy, a very miry psalm. And the first three verses of Psalm 40 are going to appear on the screen now. And we're going to read them together as we start our time together. So, verses 1 to 3. Together we say, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. So David, the author of Psalm 40, he's stuck in a pit of mud. He can't get out. But God comes to his rescue and lifts him out and puts him on a rock. And David is full of joy. God has put a new song in his mouth, a hymn of praise to Almighty God. Amen. We are going to have the Bible read to us now, and Liz is going to come and do that as we read Psalm 40. Thank you.
So we're reading from Psalm 40. If you are following in the Bibles in the seat pockets in front of you, you can find that on page 566. And it will also appear on the screens. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. Now, a number of years ago, before I was a responsible parent, I went to go and visit my three-year-old cousin, and her mum gave me permission to take her out to the park. This was the first time I'd taken her out on my own. What could possibly go wrong? Well, when we got to the park, I let her run around a little bit, and all of a sudden I could see her running towards this massive puddle of mud in the middle of the grass. And I could just see what was going to happen, but I just couldn't react in time. And she tripped up, and she slid face first through all the mud, and her white dress turned completely black through the mud slip and slide. She looked a bit like this. Something like off Predator. Not quite as bad as that, but she was very, very, very muddy. So I had to be very careful, and I lifted her up like this at a distance so I don't get myself dirty, and I had to walk all the way back through the park and take her back home to her mum. That was the first and the last time that I took her to the park. David in Psalm 40 is also in the mud, isn't he? But it's much worse for David. He's in a slimy pit that he cannot get out of. In verse 1, he's crying to the Lord for help. He's stuck in the mud and the mire, having to wait patiently. Now, that mud wasn't real mud, and the mire wasn't real mire. These are just metaphors or ways of describing the trouble and the mess that David found himself in. And that trouble and mess could have been people treating him badly or enemies trying to kill him. Or it could have been something else that made David feel trapped or sad or in danger. Whatever it was, David feels a little bit like this. A hamster stuck in a bathtub. Have you ever seen that before? It happened to one of my hamsters when I was a kid. It escaped from its cage one night, climbed all the way up the stairs, got into the bathroom and fell into the bathtub, which was empty. And when we woke up in the morning, we realized that he'd escaped. We looked everywhere, couldn't find it. And then we heard some scratching noise in the bathroom. And there he was, trying to get up the sides of the bath. But then he was just sliding back down again. He was completely stuck. Or even worse, David felt a little bit like this. He was like a person stuck in sinking sand. He couldn't get out of it. He was stuck. He was going down. He was in great danger. Now, when I was a kid, I used to love playing with this. Do you know what this is? Action Man. Anybody else play with Action Man? Don't be shy. Come on. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant toy. This was my favorite toy when I was a kid. So Action Man is going to be our David today. Now, you might be wondering what that strange, meaty smell is in the room. Sadly, we're not serving pies after church. That smell is actually this bowl of gravy that represents the pit of the mud and the mire that David found himself in. So there it is. Now, could I have a volunteer, a young volunteer, please, to come forward and help me with this? This is really... Winter, do you want to come and help me? This is really, really difficult, this. I want you to take David and just... Can you stand him up inside that pit of mud and mire facing the audience? There we go. In the middle, can he stand up? Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Winter. I'll need you again in a few moments, but thank you so much for your help. So here he is, David, in the slimy pit. Now, what would you do if you were in David's situation? What do you do when you're sad or when you're worried or when trouble comes? Well, David, he turns to the Lord for help. He prays. And you know, it's a really, really wise thing to do. Because what happened? Well, David says in verse 1 that the Lord turned to me and heard my cry. That's wonderful, isn't it? That when we pray, that God hears us, doesn't he? But God doesn't just hear. David says in verse 2 that he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. So God heard David, and then God helped David. And God's going to do that for us as well, isn't he, when we ask him for help. So Winter, could you come back now, and could you put David on this solid rock? Stand him up nicely on that solid rock. Now, yeah, he's got dirty boots, but he's on the rock. Thank you so much, Winter. You're doing a great job. I've got a shaky hand. So, whatever that slimy pit was, the Lord has lifted David out of it, and he has come to David's rescue. And David is now standing firm in a place of safety. It's like being on a solid rock. Now, how would you feel if you were trapped in sinking sand, but then somebody came and lifted you out of it? Well, you'd feel a sense of gratitude, wouldn't you? You want to say thank you. And that's what David does in verses 3 to 10. He's praising God, firstly, with his mouth. Let's put that there. He's praising God with his mouth, and he's singing a new song. So look at verse 3. It says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. So God has put this song in David's mouth. And that's because God is celebrating with David. God loves David. He delights to save David. And that's what God is like, isn't it? He delights to save his people. And so David sings this song with God. He sings it to God and because of God and all that God has done. Then David praises God with his ears. Oh, I'm stretching. There we go. So in verse 6 he writes, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. So David can do lots of things, can't he, to say thank you to God. But the best thing is to give God his ears. Now, children, imagine mum or dad, did loads of nice things for you, took you out on trips, bought you pizza, tidied your room. I'm sure that they do that anyway, but that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? But imagine they did all these nice things for you, but they never ever listened to a word you said. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? That'd be really, really bad. And so the best way that we can love somebody and to care for somebody is to listen to what they say. And that's what David is doing with his ears. He is listening to God and to what God says. And then David is praising God with his heart. In verse 8, David says, I declare to do your will, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is in my heart. Okay, so David doesn't see God's law as something boring or something that just needs to be read and obeyed now and again. David loves God. And because he loves God's word and what God says in his word. And lastly, David is praising God with his lips. in verse 9. He says, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. So David is so full of joy because God saved him from this slimy pit that he tells everybody. He's proclaiming what God has done. So David is praising God with his mouth, with his ears, with his heart, and with his lips. So David was in the slimy pit, wasn't he? And the Lord saved him and lifted him out and set his feet upon a rock in safety. And David is praising God for that. Wouldn't it be great if Psalm 40 ended there at verse 10? But it doesn't, does it? There's another 7 verses. And the psalm takes an unexpected twist. David is back in trouble again. So have a look at verse 11. David prays, do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. So it sounds like David is back in a pit again. So Winter, could you come and do the honours and put David back into the pit? Because you're good at this. Now, things are looking really, really bad for David. Perhaps worse than the first time round. Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you. You've done this before, Winter. You're very good at it. So the first time around, David was waiting patiently for the Lord in the pit. But now he's crying out to God to come quickly to save him. And remember in verse 8 how David's heart desired to do God's will. Well, have a look at verse 12. That same heart has now failed within him. What's going on? Why is David struggling like this? Well, the answer is there in verse 12. David says, my sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. So David's big problem, our big problem, the big problem in the world is this three-letter word that is going to appear now on the screen. It's sin. What is sin? Well, a good way to understand what sin is to think about the middle letter. So children, what's the middle letter in this word? Yeah. I. Yeah. I. Yeah. Sin makes us love ourselves more than we love God. It makes us want to be more important than God. And sin isn't just the bad things we do, like stealing or lying. Sin is so bad because instead of God being up here high and ourselves being here low, in our hearts, we make God low and we put ourselves up high. And we say this, I. I'm in charge, not God. I'm important, not God. I will decide what's best for me, not God. So sin is all about us. And there's nobody without sin. Sin is like a very deep, muddy and miry, slimy pit. It's very, very dangerous. Why is it so dangerous? Well, here's the first reason. It separates us from God. Now imagine if our action man, fresh from the slimy pit, with the mud and mire all over his boots like this, dripping off his boots. Ugh. Now imagine if he came to this place. This beautiful palace with its perfect white marble floors, sparkling clean. Is Action Man going to be allowed in?
No.
He's not going to be allowed in, is he? Why not? Because he is going to make the clean place dirty. And you know, that's what God is like. He's clean. He's perfect. He's brilliant. He's holy. And that's why nothing dirty, nothing unclean can come into his presence. So that's the first reason why sin is so dangerous. It separates us from God. But secondly, sin is also dangerous. Do you know why? Because we just can't stop sinning. David says, my sins have overtaken me. So when I was at Kirby Kendall School here, just down the road, I loved cross-country running. Are there any runners amongst us this morning? Anyone like running? Donald, yeah? Are you a runner? Yeah? There's a few of you, one or two of you. Well, I used to love running. I used to love cross-country running. But at school, it was really annoying because there was this one lad called Gordon who always won. He was just so good at cross-country. No matter how good I was or no matter how good I thought I was, Gordon would always come and overtake me. And there was just nothing I could do about it. And sin is a little bit like this. No matter how hard we try, it always overtakes us. No matter how much we try to be clean before God, it always draws us back into that swamp of sin. And we're all a little bit like Pepper and George Pig, and we're all a little bit like Bear Grylls and Shrek, because there is something in us that loves the mud and the mire of sin. And that something is I, the love of self, more than the love of God. And it's in us all, and we can't shake it off. We can't master it. Now look at David. He's a king. He's reigning. And ironically, although he's reigning, he can't reign over the sin in his own heart. It always gets the better of him. Just when he thinks he's mastered it, he comes back and it bites him again. And so David is back in the slimy pit again. This slimy pit is like sin. And David needs saving from his sins. This little card says sin, if you can't see it at the back. We'll put this around David like that. Because David needs saving from his sin. And that's how the psalm ends. Have a look at verse 17. David is crying out to God again for deliverance. So David is back in the slimy pit. He's stuck in the mud and the mire of sin. He's a king. He's God's king. He wants to praise God with his mouth, his ears, his heart, and his lips. But he just can't do it, can he? He can't do it perfectly the way God wants him to do it. And that's because of the eye of sin, right? He fails. He needs forgiveness. He needs to be made clean from all of his sin. He needs rescue. But there's good news, isn't there, in this psalm. The Lord lifts people out of slimy pits. And we see this most supremely in the New Testament, don't we, when the Lord Jesus came to rescue his people from all their sins. And so as we come to celebrate now the Lord's Supper, if you have a Bible in front of you, please try and find Hebrews chapter 10. Use the contents page in the front of the Bible if you're not sure. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll give you a moment to find that. Great, have we got that? Hebrews chapter 10, it's page 1208. And we're just going to look at verses 4 to 7. So it says this: "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in your scroll. I have come to do your will.'" So the Lord Jesus, when he came to the world, he quoted Psalm 40 and he applied it to himself. It's like he was saying, everything David was hoping for, everything David needed, everything David was pointing to, I've come to do. I've come to fulfill. I'm the answer to this problem that David's got here. Now David, if you remember, he said, "I desire to do your will." But Jesus says here, "I have come to do your will." So everything David tried to do didn't solve his sin problem. He ended up back in the pit of sin. But Jesus came to do that thing that David was powerless to do. He came to take away sins forever. And he did that by swapping places with us. So Jesus went into the pit of death for us, so that we can be safe. And he took our sin upon himself. And instead, when we trust in Jesus, he gives us his righteousness. Which means that Jesus makes us right with God. He makes us clean from all our sins with God forever. And that's because of the work that Jesus has done on the cross as he was punished for our sins in our place. And this is the substitution, the transfer that takes place when we put our trust in Jesus. So Jesus came to lift sinners out of this slimy pit of sin and to make them clean forever by swapping places with them. Jesus never sinned. In fact, he loved God perfectly with his mouth, with his ears, with his heart, with his lips, and with everything all of the time. He is that righteous king who makes us righteous when we put our trust in him. So Psalm 40 is pointing towards Jesus. He is that rock, that firm rock of Psalm 40, upon whom we can stand in safety forever when we put our trust in him. Just as we are drawing our formal time of worship together this morning, I just want to say that Psalm 40 is David's psalm, isn't it? But we are also invited to join in with the song of Psalm 40. I don't know if you noticed the invitations there. So have a look at verse 4. It says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." And then verse 16 says, "May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you." I wonder if that's you. Are you blessed? Are you joyful and glad? Have you put your trust in Jesus? If you haven't, then how do you intend on getting out of the slimy pit of sin that leads to separation from God? Maybe you've only just realized today what sin is like and how dangerous it is. Well, like with David, God is pleased to save you. He is pleased to lift you out of that pit and to stand you secure forever in Jesus. But will you take Jesus' hand? Will you trust him? Have you done that? Will you do that? Will David's song of deliverance also be your song as well? And if you have already put your trust in Jesus, I just want to encourage you that you're in no better place today. You're in no better hands because he is the rock. Life can sometimes be tough, can't it? And it does feel at times that our feet slip into slimy pits, even though we're Christians, even though we're following Jesus. Although Jesus has saved us from the big pit of sin that leads to separation from God, there are other smaller slimy pits along the way, aren't there? And maybe you feel like you're in one right now. Maybe you're struggling. Perhaps it's things that you're looking at on your phone. Maybe it's the pressure of exams or work. Maybe it's got to do with the way people think of you. Maybe you're being bullied. Maybe you're worried about the future. Perhaps you're struggling at home or at work or in a particular relationship with someone. Maybe you're not feeling well. Maybe you're struggling with low self-esteem. Maybe you're just feeling down and blue. Maybe you're battling an ongoing sin and you just can't seem to shake it off. Whatever it is, whatever slimy pit you might find yourself in, please, please, please do not despair. Don't despair. We have got a Savior who plunged into the depths of the deepest, darkest pit to lift you out. And if he can lift you out of that pit that leads to destruction, he can help you in all of your times of trouble as well. Because Jesus is that rock that gives us reassurance that when we do mess up, and we will from time to time, we are still safe in him. Isn't that amazing? That even when we do mess up, that God invites us to draw near to him. That's what he says in Hebrews chapter 10. That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I know what I am like. I know what goes on in my heart. But I'm being encouraged to draw near to God. And I can. And we can. And David can. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. and all that he has done. He is the Lord. He is the rock of Psalm 40. He is our assurance. So let's keep our eyes on him and trust in him.